And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 88 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And make sure when you check us out on iTunes that you rate us and leave us a review, as we select winners each week to get an autographed book set from Adam and I with Kids Deserve It swag.
Also, don't forget, you can join us for our weekly Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. This week, we got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloney, Elementary Principal in Navasota, Texas. And our special guest this week is Don Wetrick. Don, thanks for being here this week.
I'm excited.
We want to remind our viewers to participate on social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. Whether you're watching live or the recording later, we always love to see what sticks out to you.
So, Don, we got some questions for you, man. So for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
Father of three. I teach a class called Innovation and Open Source Learning in a suburban school just north of Indianapolis, which is Noblesville High School. And the class is probably what we'll be talking about a little bit, but it's a wacky sort of odd experiment in education where we took kind of the principles of 20% time and just made it the class for the year.
Awesome. So for those who are listening that may not know what 20% time is, how would you define that?
If school didn't get in your way, what would you want to learn? What would you want to work on? And most importantly, how can I hold you accountable by saying that you want to do these things? Because a lot of people say, I'd literally like to learn how to play the drums. All right, do it. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to learn how to, okay, fine, do it. And I think that was our biggest challenge, is that one, getting kids to discover what they are passionate about, because truly most people do not know what they're passionate about. Or two, most people I know are passionate about somebody else's dream. And that is to say that they're a big fan of the Colts, or they're a big fan of this band, or they like Star Wars a lot. But getting our students to get to understand what they're passionate about is really important to us.
I love that. Well, you know, you wrote a book that deals with some of these things called Pure Genius. Can you tell our viewers a little bit about that book and how that came to be and what that's about?
Yeah, that was our journey. I had started the innovation and open source learning class, and amazing things were happening, like crazy amazing things. And one thing led to another, and I was like, you know, I'm going to write a book on it. So it's essentially the growing pains of moving towards a 20% time. And then also just kind of a guidebook on, hey, if you want to take innovation serious in the classroom, here's what you do. And I was kind of proud of it, because there wasn't a lot of edu jargon. There's very few buzzwords. And then, God forbid, it actually produces student results. Like, we talk about what our students actually did.
Nice. So, Don, you travel, you teach, you speak, you're an author. Like, what do you feel is the most important and, like, urgent issue right now in education?
Honestly, getting students to identify and see where opportunities may lie. You know, I think one of the things that drives me nuts is we go to conference after conference, and they usually lead off of, you know, 77% of the jobs that are out, you know, that will be had by our students now in first grade don't exist yet. Okay, fine. Who's going to invent these jobs? The students, are they going to sit idly by? The students are going to be told what to do the entire school day, or the students are going to be allowed to invent? The students are going to be allowed to create. And so I think that too often our students, is what's really crucial right now, is being able to learn and identify where opportunities are, and then have the time and resources in our school day to re-envision a school as a startup space.
Nice.
Awesome. So where do you draw your inspiration from? And did you always know that you wanted to teach with kids?
I draw my inspiration from my dad. I think this is my favorite part of the book, that my mom and my dad paid for all of my education, which, to be fair, in 1995 wasn't as expensive as it is now. My dad was a teacher. My sister was a teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, but that makes her a teacher. And the last thing I was going to do was be a teacher. So, but at the same time, I loved what my dad did. I loved the fact that when I'd go to the mall, people would stop me and they're like, oh, your dad, and then say really nice things. And you have that calling. It's bloodlines, right? You know, a lot of teachers are parents are former teachers. And so the thing that he said to me that resonated, I told him, I'm like, hey, I appreciate you buying all of my diplomas, but I'm going to go back to school. I should say diploma singular. But I said, I'm going to go back and be a teacher. And he just took a deep breath, and he never complained about education. He really didn't. But he said, you know, Donnie, I don't care if you teach for the next 20 years. Just don't teach 1 year 20 times.
Nice.
And that has been innovation to me. I have never done 2 years the same way. There have been some things that I've kept, but there's always something I'm changing. There's something I'm throwing out. There's something I'm enhancing. There's something, and I get feedback from my customer base, right? I'm getting feedback from my students and from my parents. So those words to me have always resonated. To some degree of irony, I'm in my 20th year this year. So nice. Who knows what 21 is going to look like.
Nice. I love it. So speaking of innovation, and every year is a little bit different, what's something this year you're working on with growing and growth for you?
Yeah, our growing and growth has really come from almost seeing the classroom as an innovation startup space. You know, the innovation class has had unparalleled amounts of success, and this isn't me doing the. Well, I am bragging about my kids. They're amazing. So, I mean, we've had patents filed out of the class. We've had students make more than me. We've had just crazy, crazy things. But everywhere in America, there's little startup spaces. There's little, you know, incubators or, you know, co-working spaces. Well, in every town in America, there is that. It's our high schools. It's our middle schools. It's our grade schools. And the one challenge we're really doing is like last year, towards the end of the year, I told my innovation students, go out and find a struggling business in our zip code and go help them. Because we think that they have a level of understanding, that we think that they understand design thinking and know what empathy mapping is and all these other things. And so that was really great. And then we have a couple other tricks up our sleeve this year. But mostly is that I want them to work with leaders in their community to kind of build and strengthen bonds, not just within the school, but without. And my gosh, that thing that we did that last late April, early May, and some of the students got jobs because of it. Talk about practical experience. It was really cool. So that was the beta test. That was the buzzy word, MVP of the whole thing. And we're doing some really cool things this year. Matter of fact, just for the heck of it, we did that as a challenge. We had, I think, 35 different schools sign up, and we took them through, and actually next week is the end, but we took them through like a 4-week global innovation challenge. And the capstone of it is that they're going out into their communities and solving small problems with local entrepreneurs.
Nice.
That sounds amazing. I love that. So, you know, you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but thinking about your experience growing up in school, what was school like for you growing up? Like, what kind of student were you?
So, as again, my dad was a teacher, so I didn't have any choice. I had to do pretty well, but I hate to say this because I had some really nice teachers, but I didn't like it. And at age 45, I lived in this weird time where there really wasn't high stakes testing yet. It was on the horizon. It was there a little bit. But at the same time, it was still conformity-based, sit down, shut your mouth. And I think you guys have met me before. I'm kind of opinionated. I'm not quiet. and I just didn't like it much. But like I said, my dad was a teacher and a guidance counselor. So I kind of charmed my way through school. You know, I'd tell the teachers what they wanted to hear. I learned how to play the game. Heck, my favorite line was, you know, first day of class, I'd say, hey, look, my dad's a teacher. I know what you guys are going through. And if there's anything I can do to help, if there's like, you want me to have them calm down, I'm your guy. They'll listen to me. I know what you're going through. Well, I was going to get an A that year, right? So I snuck by on charm, but the awakening is, and the thing that I really am disappointed in myself is, I didn't see it as an opportunity to learn. I just saw it as a hoop to jump through. There's some things that I wish I would have taken more seriously in other classes, but why when you can just jump through the hoop and get yourself a B and call it a day?
Right.
Man, it sounds so similar to me. My dad was a teacher and also a school board member in the district where I went to school. So talk about playing the game. I was like the board member's kid. It was crazy. So you talked about your dad. Is there anybody else that like inspires you or challenges you to be better?
So yeah, well, this is a shameless plug for my podcast. I think that's one of the reasons why I do a podcast, and I've reached out to people like Gary Vee, and a few others. But from just Get Off Your Butt, Gary, he's one that has kind of motivated me in some good ways and some frustrating ways. Dan Pink is another one that, like, his thoughts 7 years ago have been kind of an inspiration. But I'd say one of my, and I'm just so blessed to know her and still, actually, and she just rebranded her book, but Tina Seelig, Stanford University, really helped me get my start. And she is a whole lot of wonderful. Her book, Creativity Rules, actually, I think comes out next month. And anything she's written, she's amazing. Love her to death.
Thanks. I love that. So, you know, Don, we all have those days that are rough that we just don't even want to get out of bed. We don't even want to do it. When you're having one of those kind of days, what do you kind of do to kick your butt into gear?
So this is this is shameless. I don't have those days. I mean, first of all, come and visit, because it's so fun to be at times the dumbest person in the room. There are so many different things going on in my classroom where every day I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? Or how can I help? It's exhausting, but every, like the innovation open source learning class, there is no the same day ever. Because, you know, if they're in this phase of their project, or they're going to scrap it, or what was the reflection process like, or what did you, you know, what kind of pivot are you going to make? So, I think the kids, success motivates me. Now, that is not to say that I don't have frustration. Matter of fact, my biggest frustration, and I, hands to God, I just took this phone call 15 minutes before air. A student was even complaining about how frustrated she was with her group. This person is in college now. My biggest frustration is, and her conversation to me, was when people don't do. Mm-hmm. They like complaining. You know, I can't tell you how many times people are like, oh, well, school sucks. Okay. What are you going to do about it? I can't get over how many people are just complaining about how things are terrible. What are you doing? And that is my frustration. When I ask kids, hey, what are you passionate about? I don't know. What do you want to do someday? Well, what motivates you? Getting an A? That frustrates me.
100%. All right, Don. Every week, we'd like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
My challenge to the listeners is I want you to begin the process of realistic goal setting. I do this every day. Actually, it's kind of a flow state thing. But number one, first of all, try to get 8 hours of sleep. Number two, before you go to bed, write a daily three to-do list, and try to get it done in the morning. And if you do, if you win the morning, you win the day, kind of thing. But the art of short-term and intermediate goal setting, I think, is the difference between people I know that are successful and people that I know that like to talk about being successful.
I love that.
Daily three to-do list. It'll change your mindset. It'll change your life.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, Don, thank you so much for being a guest with us this week. We appreciate you giving us some of your time.
No, I was excited to be on it. And shameless plug again. Yeah, the Started Up podcast. Got some interesting people coming up, and I'm sure we'll chat about that another time. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys, all you do. Appreciate that you guys are a champion of kids and not bureaucracy. So you guys rock.
Yeah.
I really love it. Really love it.
Thanks, Don. Well, we also want to remind our viewers you can follow us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at Kids Deserve It. We also encourage you to go on iTunes and leave that review so we can select a winner. Make sure you include your Twitter handle so we can contact you. We hope you join our Twitter chats every Wednesday, and we will see you next time with our next guest.